Okay, welcome to Women with Issues, where we talk about policy issues that matter to women. We begin our podcast series with a focus on the issues most important to women over 50, with the goal of helping us make a more informed vote in the presidential election, as well as other elections. I am Diane Kielivris, and I'm socially distanced here with my podcast partner, Tracy Maxwell Hurd.
Hello.
Hi, Tracy. We began our podcast in January of 2020, hoping to get it out there. But you know what, Tracy? We were upstaged.
A little bit.
We're upstaged by that coronavirus.
Right.
Oh, my. So we're about 6 weeks into isolation here. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I think I'm handling it better than most because I'm kind of a homebody and a loner, you know, and everybody thinks of me as such a people person, and I am that, but, you know, I'm an only child, so I have no problem being at home. The downside of that is I'm cooking a lot, eating way too much, not moving enough. So same thing everybody else is going through.
Right, right. I hear that a lot, you know. Yeah. I've been going on Facebook a lot more than normal lately.
Same here.
I think everyone is. And
yeah. Trying to find ways to connect.
Yeah. It's, you know, I am posting every little thing I do. And
Right. Yeah. I almost posted my dinner the other night and I'm like, no, I'm not going there. I'm just not going there. No.
On the positive side, I've been finding I've been eating a lot more garlic than I normally would.
Oh, that's good though.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Right. Right. As you said, we kind of were upstaged by Corona and had decided to postpone our actual launch of this, but really just both of us thinking the same thing. And finally you reached out and were like, you know, well, let's just go because this really is the conversation of the moment. So let's just have the conversation right now. Mm-hmm. So even though we're kind of reprioritizing a little bit, we're still going the same way that we said, you know, we're still feeding off of the same issues that were identified in the AARP article back in December. And based on the Harris poll that AARP conducted. And the top things that were identified in that were healthcare, the economy, and ethics were like the big subjects, and then a lot of sub things under that. So obviously healthcare is a huge and really the only conversation that's happening every day, all day right now with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we just want to talk about how is COVID impacting the issues that we have identified as women over 50?
Yeah, well, right now. Remains to be seen, right? I mean, exactly. Once we get on the other side of this, who knows? Obviously, healthcare is going to be probably an even bigger issue, if that's possible, with women over 50. But, you know, what the one thing the Harris poll done by AARP showed was that women are the caregivers of the family and they make most of the decisions with regard to healthcare in the family. And that's probably playing out with this. I know it is for me. You know, I have two sons, age 22, and one in the Navy stationed in Connecticut. And, you know, there have been some members of the Navy contracting coronavirus. So immediately, I texted and called him to make sure he was okay. Sure. They came home from their underway early. He was excited about they were going to go to I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but someplace in an undisclosed location in Europe, he was excited to see. And they came back 12 days early because that was when the coronavirus pandemic hit the States. And my other son lost his job in January, was frantically looking for another job, and this all just made it even harder.
Right.
You know, not only was nobody hiring, they were letting people go.
But no, I think you just made a really good point about the article or the poll identified that women over 50 or women in general are the primary caregivers in their families. And that's true. That's always been the case. You know, we're the ones that make sure everyone gets their checkups, their vaccines. You know, we're taking care of our children, our spouses, our parents, you know, the whole nine yards. But I think the thing that's key to remember right now, especially as we're in such overdrive and there's such stressors, you know, everyone keeps talking about what we're not doing, but it's amazing how much not doing, how much stress that can bring on when not doing is not the norm. you know, and people think because, oh, we're laying around, oh, I'm cooking more, you know, oh, I'm not moving as much, whatever. Yeah, well, all of those things, just being out of the norm. And the unknown of, you know, how are we vulnerable? Are we really protecting ourselves and our families, you know, to the best of our ability? And even when you do, you know, your control is limited because the information is limited. It's wear a mask. If you think you've contracted it and you could be, you know, contagious or make other people vulnerable, or then it's like, nope, everybody wear a mask. And, you know, every day it's changing.
Right.
That's a lot of stress. And of course, then we get sucked in. As we were talking about earlier, we're all on social media now. And exchanging all of this information, some true, some not true.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some crazy things out there. There have been
some
irresponsible things out there. You know, like, oh, Black people don't get corona. Really? Where did that come from? No idea. No idea.
Yeah. I remember you saying that the other day, but then I saw that was Wynton Marsalis' father.
Right.
Marsalis' father passed away. Yeah.
And you were sharing with me the stats that you had found around African Americans and the high number. And we knew there was disparity in healthcare just in general, but this is really just kind of, you know, exacerbating that whole dynamic of access to healthcare and, you know, underlying conditions, all those kinds of things that, you know, African Americans as a community have not managed well or have had obstacles around. And, you know, COVID is not making it any better.
No, people of color are dying in disproportionately large numbers.
Right.
With this virus, just like, you know, just like with other any other disease. So it's just extrapolated here.
Exactly. Well, one thing that I would encourage all of our peers, we sisters over 50, is, you know, to follow the airplane rule. You know, put your oxygen mask on first.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, it is going to still continue to fall to us. So that's just going to maximize the stress that we have. You know, we still are going to have to look after our children in more ways than we normally do, because many still have kids at home or may have the care of grandchildren because maybe their children are in the healthcare industries or part of those essential services. So they may have that responsibility there. You know, you may now have your own parents in your home trying to manage that as well. So, you know, we have to make sure that we are putting our masks on first and taking care of ourselves so that we are going to be in the best shape to actually take on that extra load above and beyond what we normally do.
That's right. And, you know, it just seems, I wonder if, you know, we're 6 weeks in here and a lot of people are really struggling. You and I talked about before, we're very fortunate.
Right.
You know, we haven't lost jobs.
Right.
You know, we're doing okay. But at the same time, it's kind of like, it almost has been long enough now that this kind of feels like the new normal. You know, we've gotten into our routine. You know, my husband goes into his office about half the time and he stays home half the time. And we've kind of decided that, you know, you can have the office these hours and then I get the office during these hours. And I think probably most people are, you know, families are kind of working it out.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, having that luxury to, we kind of get in our bubbles, and even on social media, you know, with the exception of the things that we're funneling in and sharing from outside of our circles, you know, we're still connecting with those same social circles who tend to be peers often, you know, very much like us. So, you know, we get other information from family members. We get other information from the news, you know, and one of the posts that I saw was, and I've seen this a number of times, where, you know, we're all saying, oh, we're stuck at home. And it talks about changing your language. You know, we're not stuck at home, we're safe at home.
Oh.
You know, about, you know, the blessing of having a home to be quarantined in and, you know, to have a safe, warm place to be able to go to the grocery store and stock up, you know, for 2 weeks on groceries so you don't have to go out, and all of those things that are different, but huge blessings for those of us who can, because, you know, where are you stuck when you're homeless, and you know, how are you managing through that? And, or just, you know, for those who have lost jobs and, you know, not gotten that check from the government and all these things that are supposed to be coming, gap fillers that haven't actually happened yet. You know, there are people that are already drowning, that were drowning from the very first moment they lost that first paycheck.
Yes, I know. You know, another issue is, you know, people have, the kids are home from school.
Oh, yeah.
So some women, parents are just drowning right now. You know,
that's been funny.
School and, you know, yeah, there's some funny memes and stuff on social media that I've seen.
For sure.
You know, I imagine now even, you know, they hopefully have gotten into a routine. I have friends that have kids at home and, you know, it's an adjustment having the kids do their schoolwork, you know, online.
Right. But, and that brings up a whole nother disparity. You know, when you get into lower and lower income families, not every school district is giving out iPads, you know, or laptops.
Right.
Every kid had that to begin with. Not every school system has the resources to do that. You know, I have a friend that's an administrator with a charter school, and she spent like the first week basically of the shutdown literally driving around the city and dropping off laptops to the kids so that they could continue their schoolwork. Because they had access to laptops, but not everyone had it with them, you know, all of those kinds of things. So, I mean, that's another thing that's going to be interesting to watch on the other side is how are our kids going to fare through this going into the fall? And will fall start? Because there's already been conversation about school may not start in fall because there may be a second wave of this, which would happen in fall is what they're predicting.
Right.
If that happens. So, you know, all of these things that are unpredictable and unknowable at this point.
Yeah, the uncertainty is the worst part, you know.
Absolutely.
When, everyone keeps asking when you watch the press conferences, you know, and
right.
Here in Ohio, we have a press conference every day at 2:00 with Governor Mike DeWine, and he's been excellent. I mean,
Dr. Amy. Yeah.
It's an Amy Acton fan club.
Absolutely.
I joined that. Yeah, so they keep asking them, well, when are we going back to work? When can we get back to normal? And there are no answers, you know?
No, so it changes every day. But the conversations are very much around what we have been focusing on, healthcare, the economy, and looking at, you know, how this is going to play out November of 2020 in the election and that whole conversation of ethics. But, you know, for the number one thing was healthcare. So, you know, healthcare, it's not just about, you know, are we getting sick? Who's getting sick? Are we flattening the curve? You know, when are we going to come out of this? But just how are we managing through it right now? And, you know, around the PPEs and having a shortage of that and our health force being vulnerable on the front lines. But just as citizens and as the vulnerable population, you know, what does this mean for us in terms of health insurance and health care and access to health care and, you know, social distancing, pardon me, and taking care of one another and being respectful of that, because we've had people who are running around, you know, licking cans in the grocery store and toilet seats and licking door handles because they couldn't get into the grocery store during the hours that were reserved for the seniors.
What does
that even mean? Yes, it's all over TV. Some crazy guy is licking the door handle of the grocery store because they wouldn't let him in because he wasn't a senior citizen. And fortunately, we're hearing most of the stories are the best of us, you know, how we're all trying to figure out how to help each other, you know, things that you're doing, you know, like with the masks and things like that. But there's still some yo-yos out there that are, you know, that are making us even more vulnerable.
Right. And, you know, I think over time, we're going to start to see, though, some of the positives that come out of this. Like I've learned a new technology, and that is Zoom, which is
what
we're doing right now. And I never heard. I had never heard of Zoom before. Now I'm zooming all over the place.
Exactly. I've even had Zoom happy hours with some of my girlfriends.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Hey, you have to figure it out. You eliminate the wine. You just modify. You know?
I guess I'm not invited because I don't drink, right?
Well, you can watch us.
I'm no fun anymore, Tracy.
What else is part of this conversation? You know, we know. What I think is really interesting about this is the ethical part of that. But, you know, before we do the ethics, let's talk about the economy, because we as women are always challenged in that economic conversation. And what is this going to look like for us? You know, because we're last in, you know, what is it, last hired, first fired, you know, in so many situations, you know, the pay gap that already exists. And
yeah, but we're only losing 76 cents for every dollar that men are losing right now.
So is this a win for us then? Is that right?
Yes. Okay.
This is a backwards ironic win for us.
Karma.
Okay. Oh my God. But yeah, so how is this going to play out on the other side for us in terms of, you know, that reentry for those that have been furloughed or just flat out lost their jobs? And what are we going to do about that? What are we as women going to do to help one another navigate through that?
That's a good question.
Yeah, and we don't know, because we don't know what the government's going to do. We don't know what business is going to do, whether that's big business or the small businesses who aren't getting nearly the help that they should be getting. You know, lots of focus on the big businesses, lots of conversation around small businesses. But, you know, they've already been coming out saying that the help that's been promised that they haven't even received yet isn't nearly enough. Mm. And, you know, small business employs 85% of our economy. You know,
yeah,
you think about organizations like Walmart and GM and, you know, those kinds of entities, they're huge and they employ, you know, tens of thousands of people and hundreds of thousands in some cases. But still, when you compare that to the overall economy, it's still just 15%. You know, the other 85% of the economy is employed by small businesses.
Wow. That's
so that's a huge deal when you think about who is or isn't going to come out on the other side. And for us as women, you know, what's that doing for our households?
I don't know about the statistics. Maybe you do. Of more of the lower paying jobs occupied by women, or, you know, because it's probably those waitresses, mm-hmm. waitresses that are going to be losing. I mean, I think people will still be leery of eating out. Maybe it'll change. I can't imagine myself heading out to a restaurant right away when this is
right.
Calms down.
I think there are a lot of people who are, you know, who have cabin fever and are just anxious to get back out there and reengage. And we are all talking about that. But, you know, when we really get ready to step out of the door, I think there'll be a few that hesitate. It's like, okay, just because I can doesn't mean I'm necessarily ready to do that. Because, you know, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Going to pick up food and bringing it home is one thing. I don't think I'm ready to sit down in a restaurant of 100 people.
Yet. Well, I told my husband, you know, I might go out, but I'm still wearing my mask.
So you'll be really popular. Yes.
I may keep wearing that mask forever.
Well, that's why they have to be fashionable, you know?
Oh my God.
But anyway, I'm just curious to see what happens on the other side with our sisters and how we fare in the re-engagement and how, if those same disparities are going to impact us, which I expect they will. I mean, I don't expect anything better on the other side in terms of employment or the economy. I think we'll still be disadvantaged. I think we'll still get hired back in last because they always negate how many single parent households there are and how many of those, the larger percentage of that, you know, are women, you know, led single parent households. Mm-hmm. And they're always focusing on men as being, you know, even still in 2020, as men being the breadwinner and a woman's salary not being as important. And it's like, that's just garbage and not based in anything that's real anymore. So I think that's going to hurt us bad on the reentry side of this, because I don't believe those dynamics are going to change, and it's just going to be all the harder for us to get reengaged and for
probably
us to help stand up our families again.
Well, like you said, last one's hired. So going back in, will that be the case?
I think so. Cause I think they're going to look at the guys and say, you know, well, you know, this guy, we've got him, he's a man, just period. He's a man. So we've got to make sure that we, you know, get him reengaged again and let him suck up, you know, a little more of the money than we do. I don't think those dynamics will change either, but.
You think there's still that attitude out there that a man's got to support his family?
Oh yeah, I do. Oh, that's wow. What I was saying is so dated, you know, in 2020,
yeah.
I think people still subconsciously operate that way. And even women fall into the same trap, you know, women that are in HR and sitting in these seats and having the opportunity to change that dynamic. You know, we are impressed by and influenced by those same social dynamics and that the men are, and we've not broken out of it 100% yet either, so we're not helping ourselves as much as we could be either.
Let's, you know, back to the ethics issue, is this going to change how important those ethics are? I mean, they're already important, obviously shown in the Harris poll with AARP, but maybe even more now.
I think it depends on what we say. How we define that?
We want a leader who, you know, is going to keep us safe from, you know, pandemic, from this virus. But at the same time, you know, is going to save the economy, you know,
right.
That's God, that's all that, you know, you got to manage both. That's a lot.
Yeah. But I think we have to start defining those kinds of things ahead of time a little bit so that it's not so much about who's in place as what our expectation is. And, you know, let that be the barometer. You know, how we manage these situations as a country, as a community, versus how does this mayor or this president or this elected person, you know, make that decision. I think there are some things that are bigger than a person or a office. You know, it has to be about we the people versus, you know, who that person is,
mm-hmm.
so that we can have some expectation and some comfort and security about, you know, what happens to us in bad times like this.
Right. You know, we'll follow who we trust, you know, and right now in Ohio, a lot of it is, you know, DeWine, because he's been
governor
and doing
mm-hmm. yeah.
a fantastic job. And, I've been watching, the governor of New York, mm-hmm. Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah. Who's
also, you know, they say times like these, who was it that said that, you know, these hard times don't build character, they reveal it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's happening right now, and it'll be really interesting to see in November, first of all, where we are. You know, they're already confirming that there will definitely be an election on the second Tuesday of November. Okay, we hope. You know, but what will that look like? Will the entire country be voting by absentee ballot? Or will it get postponed? And if so, you know, what does that mean? Does that make it better or worse for the incumbent? You know, how does this really, what opportunity does it give us as voters to engage and make decisions, you know, around this and voice how we think they did, you know, because right now we're not really talking about the election. You know, we are one-on-one.
Yeah. That's really gone on the back burner, hasn't it?
Yeah. Which is crazy, because we're not
crazy.
We're months away from a presidential election, but we're not addressing it as we normally would be. But I think we're all watching to see, you know, at this point, I think it's clear that we're down to two candidates.
Right.
You know, we're waiting for them to pick their vice presidents,
mm-hmm.
Assuming that Pence will still be President Trump's. Vice President Biden has not yet declared his. But, you know, everyone's watching to see how they are handling this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who's being forthright and transparent? Who's the most concerned and most invested in this, and on whose behalf? You know, is it that, you know, the people that they think are going have the money to re-stimulate the economy again, or is it, you know, all of the millions of us who are actually out here suffering from this and, you know, exposed and vulnerable? And, you know, this pandemic is no respecter of persons. You know, wealthy people have gotten it. Prince Charles has it.
Prince Charles.
The Prime Minister has it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's from the poorest poor to the richest rich that are being impacted by this. But who's watching out for whose, you know, best interests? And, you know, it's not really a black and white conversation, because people define ethics differently and measure it differently. And that's going to impact the outcome of the election.
Definitely. So there's you know, like you said, there's going to be a whole lot of argument over how are we going to conduct the voting. You know, we already had a whole lot of argument over this anyway, with the mm-hmm. Russians being involved and whether they were, you know, being involved or not involved. And now if we have to vote online or we have to vote by mail, that invites even more opportunity for interference.
Well, I mean, and there's, you know, there's arguments on both sides of that. And I mean, I think it's just still amazing that we don't even all vote the same in the 88 counties of this state, let alone, you know, all of the states of the country. Everybody's doing it differently. So how do you monitor, you know, what's best, what's most secure? You know, I don't know. I'm just still stunned that we really don't all do it the same way. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't know that I'm saying there should be a mandate that we all do it the same way, but I think it would make it a whole lot easier to assess.
Definitely easier if we all did it the same way.
Yeah, I think so. So where do you think we're going to be on the other side of this, not just as government, but, you know, as people? Because I mentioned earlier that you're making masks for people and, you know,
that's
kind of part of
actually went out and bought a sewing machine. And I haven't sewed since I was a senior. Well, I don't know, sometime in high school when I took home ec class.
Same here.
Making these masks by hand, and I decided it was just going too slow. I was making them for a local hospice center who requested them. I knew I couldn't sit around here and do nothing, you know. So I bought a used sewing machine, and actually it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
Made a few, delivered them. I don't, like you said, this virus, it's affecting all of us, rich and poor. None of us can get our hair done. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you know? Yeah. And so I don't, maybe it's just going to make us all connect with each other. Maybe, you know what I think? Maybe we don't take things for granted so much.
That sounds great.
Things like,
I don't think I agree with you, though.
You don't think that?
I know. I think it's great. You know, I'm hoping to do the same thing that you've done, although I've not yet figured out how to thread my sewing machine. But I have one. I just have to get to Joanne and get my package and, you know, and get going here. And I think what jades me a little bit is just the experience that I've had in politics and seeing how, you know, we get revved up too late, first of all. It's like the last 2 months, 2 weeks to 2 months before the actual election that people, the general electorate really gets involved. You know? I mean, all the players are involved months and months and months, all the candidates and, you know, the politicos months ahead of that. But in terms of people really tuning in to ads, that's why there's such an inundation at that point in time, because everyone knows that's when people finally tune in. But, you know, having seen that, and then people go in and they make their picks, some informed, some not so informed. But, you know, I don't really see people tracking, even though it's easier now than ever to track someone's record. All that stuff is online. You have so many commentators telling you what people are doing and are they keeping their promises or are they not keeping their promises. And still we forget and we go back and we elect people that we say we're not happy with. Mm. It's one thing if you reelect someone and you know, hey, that's my guy. But how do you reelect someone and continue to complain when you had the opportunity to fire them? So that's kind of how I'm feeling about this whole thing with COVID. I'm thrilled to see all of the love and encouragement and support that's happening right now in our communities at all levels. You know, how we're reaching out and taking care of neighbors and, you know, shopping for one another and, you know, doing a sharing toilet paper, you know, all those kinds
of things.
Yeah, I don't
get that. I don't get the whole toilet paper.
I don't either. But who knew that was going to be the new goal, right?
I had no idea. Luckily, I had two cases already.
Oh my God.
I just order that way through Amazon. I'm an Amazon subscribe and save advocate. So,
I gotcha.
Now, do you think, you know, are we going to vote for the candidate that says he's going to build up the CDC? I mean, is that what we're going to be looking for? You know, the candidate who promises that this will never happen again?
Well, I don't know. Can you? That would be a bad promise to make, I think.
Oh, you're breaking up.
And I don't know. You know, for me, it's kind of not just, are you saying the right things, but when did you say the right thing? You know, it's easy to be responsive to situations as they're happening. I'm more impressed by foresight, you know, not real happy that we dismantled the agency that could have predicted this and helped us get better prepared for that. You know, that's definitely a black mark for me, for our current president. But, you know, beyond that, I really wasn't paying attention to what Vice President Biden had said, if he'd even addressed this kind of situation at all during the campaign prior to
COVID. Yeah, I don't know either.
If he had, I missed that debate or that conversation or whatever.
Well, so, it'll be important now.
Absolutely. I mean, so those timing is, you know, is a big part of it, not just what you're saying, but, you know, when did you say it? And, you know, and what's your record been just in general, not just about this, but about managing, period. I think that's kind of what it comes down to. But
well, you know, another thing, my husband, who is in the markets, he's an investment advisor, brought up this morning. Was that, you know, do we want to have such reliance on China for a lot of our goods, you know, masks and things like that? Because now China really, they have a lot of control over a lot of these supplies that we need. And, you know, luckily they have, control over the spread of the coronavirus there now. It didn't really affect the entire country because of the, you know, the what they implemented in terms of social distancing and laws about that. So, but maybe we don't want to, you know, rely on outside countries. And also, you know, a lot of, like you were mentioning the other day, sharing science.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sharing, you know, what we have. I mean, this could turn into, you know, it's sort of like people, you know, hoarding toilet paper, you know.
Sure.
You know, are we going to share the information that we have? Is this going to become, I have the vaccine, you don't, how much are you going to pay for it?
Right.
You know, we have masks, you need them, how much are you going to pay for it? You know, this could bring us together, or this could just really create a lot of the opposite, a lot, you know, a lot of fighting. So,
yeah, I saw a great article that I have to find. I can't believe I didn't print it when I was actually reading it. But it was really breaking down, it was kind of providing a synopsis of where we were in terms of good things, where in terms of research, you know, what had they identified. Something that I heard again for probably the second or third time this morning was about them taking plasma from patients that have recovered and using that as part of the treatment for people who were going through this. And
yes, the antibody. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and someone who has... put together a kind of like a cocktail of treatment. So not antibiotics have not been working, but antibiotics within a combination of some other drugs that have been manufactured for other things have been proven to be helpful in the treatment of that. So are we sharing that cocktail or that whatever that recipe is in combination for that? So all the things that I heard or read were coming from different parts of the world. And I'm hopeful that since I was reading them in an article, they've already shared them with one another, you know, globally as a health community, and that this isn't just news, because I don't know how we survive. I mean, and that's kind of what we talked about before, about, you know, having a plan going into this to know how do we engage, not just as the United States, but how do we engage with our partners?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the point that you made.
There's a common enemy that, you know, if you and I have the same enemy, we must be allies.
Yes, so the enemy of my enemy.
Right now, I'm sorry, what is that?
The phrase is, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right, that's what I wanted to say. yeah, so if you look at it that way, you know, coronavirus is the enemy right now. Mm-hmm. And it's all of our, everyone in the world is fighting this. So we should be doing it together.
I agree, but you are, boy, I thought I was an optimist, but I think you're way more of an optimist than I am, because I just don't like, you know, it's like going into business with a friend, you know you, love you, trust you, have nothing but the best, highest expectations of you, but then we come to a point where we find that we disagree on something, just, you know, process or how we're going to handle a certain business situation or whatever. And we never determined that ahead of time.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
No. But, I mean, you know, it's just having that foresight to put pen to paper and say, you know, an outline what expectations are and, you know, define lanes and those kinds of things. So you don't end up hurting feelings and disappointing one another in areas that could have been avoided if you had just spelled it out ahead of time, you know.
Right.
That's kind of what I think about these same kind of dynamics and, you know, in the context of what you were talking about, country to country. I don't think history has demonstrated that we are that kind, fair, or mature in terms of dealing with one another. I think a lot of harm has been done, and I think there's a lot of mistrust. And for me personally, I'd rather have it on paper. So China, if you're going to manufacture all the PPEs, you know, here's what happens. Here's what the breakdown looks like, you know, if a pandemic happens. You immediately start shipping those out around the world. You know, there is no hoarding and that kind of thing. Or that that's happening on a regular basis so that the hoarding isn't happening. You manufacture and you ship out, period, so that, you know, everybody's ready to respond.
And we would have to agree to do the same.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's no...
What we had in terms of whether it's, you know, PPEs or intellectual, you know, property.
Absolutely. Yeah, and healthcare most of all. You know, one of the things I love about St. Jude's is that they share all of their research and successes with any health organization around the world that's interested, you know, that's dealing with treating children. And everyone should do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, health discoveries and research should not be proprietary. I mean, it's just become big business. And to me, that's kind of like, I don't know if oxymoron is the right word. That's not it, but it is negatively opposed. You know, This should be a universal community and all share. And you want to be competitive, great. If you have a prize for the person that gets to the finish line first, outstanding. But not exclusionary at all. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So it makes me think back to America First. Is that really how we want to look at things? You know,
I don't. You know, I'm American. I certainly I look to take care of my family and friends first, my community. You know, so I kind of come from a microcosm and work out in terms of my care, concern, investment. You know, all that kind of stuff. But I think there has to be some global engagement. Some people can do things better than other people.
Right.
That's great. Let them do that. But, you know, have an understanding of how we share that. Because America First almost means that we have to do everything ourselves. And I don't think that's practical, you know, pragmatic. I don't think it's economically efficient. You know, we are a global community now. I have no problem with us living that way. We just have to figure out what the parameters are that make it fair and accessible for everybody so that it's a win-win.
Right.
Tracy for president.
Tracy for president. Can I be your VP?
Absolutely. So we'll see when we get to the other side of this, if we're better, if we maintain, you know, what decisions we make, who does the debrief, what's that going to look like on the other side. But as we continue to go forward with this conversation, we're going to keep looking at certainly this whole healthcare conversation, because COVID is going to force that. But the economy of this, we'll have more conversation around that and invite some people to have conversations with us. I'm around all of those, healthcare, the economy. And ethics specifically, because that's something that really is not so black and white. And I think we need to have a conversation about how do we define that and how do we manage that going into this election, especially understanding that that's something that, as I've been identified as such a big deal for the demographic that we're talking to here.
Trust was under that too. Ethics, trust. You know, women over 50 said we want to vote for someone we trust. So
for sure,
it'll be really great, you know, to get the perspective of perhaps, you know, an ethics professor who focuses on politics.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to volunteer, contact us, let us know. We'd love to have a conversation with you. So I think that's it for today's conversation. Look forward to moving forward with this, especially as we go to the election and really what these candidates are saying around the issues that we have identified as important to us, to help make that decision and encourage engagement going into the November election.
Thank you for listening. We are Women with Issues.
And we're talking to you. Till next time.